Hello?
Hello, Deborah?
Yes.
This is Lori. I've got the tape recorder turned on here, so hopefully this will work.
Okay.
I'm sure there are very few people listening now who have not heard of Eloise Wilken. If you were ever a child yourself, then you most assuredly read or had read to you one of the many children's picture books illustrated by Eloise Wilken. Well, I have here today Deborah Wilken Springett, who is the daughter of Eloise Wilken. And I want to thank you, Deborah, for taking the time to speak with us today.
My pleasure.
In 2004, you published a book entitled The Golden Years of Eloise Wilken, which is a short biography of your mother. I wondered if you could just tell us a little bit about how this book came about.
Well, it originally started out, I was, when I lived in down in Los Angeles, I was part of a Write Your Life story group, and I decided to write about my mother and father and that. And at that point in time, my mother was still alive, so I was, a couple of times, I went back to Rochester, and I started tape recording her stories about herself, her childhood, things that I didn't actually know. And unfortunately, I only had about two of these sessions, and my mother passed away. So this sort of changed the whole, it was going to be a collaborative effort on my mother and my part, and unfortunately when she passed away I sort of had to, I rewrote it. I can't tell you how many times I rewrote the book. It took me about 11 years totally to finish it. It kept changing direction. And finally I got the idea because my mother had written an article for a traveler's club that she belonged to in Canandaigua when we lived there, and it was all about her version of how she became an illustrator, and I took that paper and incorporated it into the book, and I used that to sort of take off, you know, it starts the first 8 chapters of the book that I wrote, and I just sort of added to it, and then her paper ended in the 1940s, and then I sort of continued. The rest of the chapters of the book are stories about after.
I think the format you've used was very nice, how you did that, interspersing her own words with your text.
Yes.
And then you have several photographs of Eloise Wilken and with her parents' photographs and her children, along with several images from her paintings.
Yes, I tried to use pictures from her book that sort of illustrated what she was talking about in her paper.
There are several illustrations that I think are unpublished in here.
There's not too many, actually. Uh-huh. The cover, and then there's the little golden girl, but those are the only two, I think.
Okay.
The rest are all, and maybe the baby on the back cover, but the rest of them are all images from her golden book.
Okay. And we'll tell the listeners later at the end here how you can obtain a copy of this book. Well, first I want to ask you some questions about Eloise Wilken's childhood, her own childhood. In your book, The Golden Years of Eloise Wilken, you record your mother's words, "There were projects of all kinds going on continually in the bedroom my sister and I shared. And also, I was blessed with a most unusual mother." Did your mother ever relate to you things that her mother, which would be your grandmother, did to encourage creativity in her children?
Well, I guess I should preface this by saying that I never knew any of my grandparents. They were all died before I was born. So what I know of my grandparents are from stories that my mother or her siblings told us. And a lot of what I'm going to tell you probably are things that I simply have to surmise from my mother's upbringing. She grew up in New York City with 4 siblings, and this was in the early 1900s, which I think was a kinder, gentler time, and you have to remember that in those times, you didn't have television, you didn't have computers, you didn't have Game Boy, you didn't have all the technology that kids have today.
All the distractions.
Yes. So I think kids were allowed to grow up and to be children. They weren't. Today, I think so many children have to grow up much too quickly and don't have a childhood. Her mother was home. She was a full-time mother, as mothers were back then. They didn't go out and work, and kids weren't put into daycare centers or nursery schools, what seems to be a prerequisite for kids going to school today. Mm-hmm. And my mother and her siblings were, to begin with, very imaginative children anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, I'm sure their mother taught them how to sew because they used to sew clothes for their dolls.
Okay.
I should mention that my mother and her older sibling, Esther, were only 15 months apart, so they had built-in playmates for one another.
Mm-hmm.
They were very close as sisters for their whole life. And I think their mother did provide them with crayons and paper and paste, and they used to take things like Quaker boxes, and they would make dolls out of them.
Okay.
With construction paper, and they used to do that for us too. My grandfather was a newspaper man, and they used to, you know how newspapers come all folded up? They would use crayons and make dolls out of these folded up newspapers.
Oh, okay.
I can remember my aunt, when we had a cottage at the lake, we had, my dad loved gardening, and he had hollyhocks. She would take a flower off of a hollyhock, and she'd turn it over, and she'd use the seed pod as the head, and you'd have these little ladies.
My father showed us how to do that too long ago.
Yes, I'm sure this is the type of thing that their mother showed them. Another thing that my aunt showed all of my daughter and all of her great nieces were snapdragons. You can take one flower off and you can make them talk.
Okay.
And my daughter, who is an actress and can do all kinds of voices, she, to this day, she takes the, whenever she passes a flower bed with snapdragons, she grabs one off and starts talking. And people don't, they say, oh my gosh, how do you do that? You know, people don't think of doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
They were very simple things that, you know, and of course my mother mentions how when the paper hangers came once a year to redo the apartment, their mother let them crayon all over the walls, and what fun that was.
It says in the book something about Eloise and her sister would play under the bed and make their little houses for their dolls and stores, and they'd play late into the night. And then every once a week, I think maybe on Saturday, they were required to get rid of all extra junk.
Yes.
It would accumulate, I suppose.
And they never wanted to do it. Well, apparently it was kind of a nightly ritual where you know, my grandmother would come in and try to get them to settle down, and she'd spank them. I don't know what she used, but they'd put pillows on their backsides or whatever, and I guess all three of them would end up laughing so hard that form of discipline wasn't very helpful. But another thing my mother mentioned was that at night she would, her mother was a studied piano music at the conservatory in Brockport and was a beautiful musician. And my mother every night would go to sleep listening to her mother playing the piano.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is where she developed her love of classical music.
Uh-huh.
Later on in life.
Well, Emily said that she loved art school and that, quote, after wrestling with Latin verbs and math in high school, it was pleasant to sit all day doing the thing I like to do best. Did she ever tell you her feelings about the academic part of her schooling?
Yes, she did. Her older brother, of course, being the oldest, I think the oldest child is always, you know, expected to be the most responsible child.
Uh-huh.
And Esther, her older sister, was sort of kind of a goody-two-shoes, you know, did everything the teachers told them to do, and always did her homework. And my mother, being a third child, was kind of a rebel.
Okay.
And they say that creative children are often very bored with school.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, in those days, they didn't have advanced placement courses and what have you, and I think my mother was really bored.
Uh-huh.
In school, and played the class clown a lot.
Okay.
And rather than doing their homework, because their father liked to create, collect books, especially first editions. And rather than do her homework, my mother used to like to sneak into his study and read his bawdy French novels. They thought that was more fun than doing her homework.
Mm-hmm.
And even in her art classes, she said she used to have to do these. They give them these great big flowers to draw, and of course she was bored to tears with it.
She wanted to draw what she wanted?
She wanted to draw what she wanted to do. You have to remember that at age 11, she won a New York City art contest. So she was very creative that way. Esther spent a lot of time with her father. She entered the same contest, and they discussed it, and my mother just got on with it and did her own drawing and won the contest.
Hmm.
So, naturally, she was very bored when she was told she had to do the, you know, she wasn't allowed to be creative in her art classes.
So if she was told she had to draw a flower, but in her mind she had other ideas.
Oh, I'm sure she did.
Okay, what about, I have some questions about your own childhood. What was it like growing up with an artist for a mother?
You know, this is a question that my siblings were asked all the time. We actually had, I would say, the best of both worlds, because in those days, even most women didn't have a full-time career as my mother had. But we were very lucky in that my mother had her career at home. So she was there when we left in the morning. She was there when we got home at night.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I say, we always had a mother at home. As I look back on it, I didn't think anything of it at the time. It was just something our mother did.
Mm-hmm.
Our house was always filled with artists and authors and editors. And as I say, it was very interesting just to sit and listen to them talk. It was a very interesting childhood, but at the time, it didn't seem unusual to me.
Do you remember any of the names of people that came to your home?
There were a lot of local authors that came to our home.
This was in New York State?
This was in Rochester, Canandaigua.
Okay.
Lucille Ogle, who was an editor and also collaborated on a couple of books with my mother, she was vice president of Golden Books at Western. She was at our home quite a bit. She was a very close friend of my mother's.
Mm-hmm. Well, I read that Eloise put aside her art for the first 10 years of her marriage in order to devote herself to her family. So how old were you when she started painting again? Do you remember?
She started again when Mrs. Peregrine and the Yak, this was the book that my aunt wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Before that time, she didn't give it up completely. I mean, she might do one book a year or something like that, but I think when Mrs. Peregrine and the Yak came out, it was 1938, 1939, which would make me about three.
Mm-hmm.
And during this time, until my younger brother got into first grade, my mother had full-time help, so she was able to do her artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you had a deadline, you could put in an 8-hour day. I don't think people realize. They thought, you know, here was this lady just making pretty pictures.
Mm-hmm.
This was a job.
Mm-hmm.
She had deadlines that she had to meet. So.
Yeah, the book Mrs. Peregrine and the Yak, that's pretty rare. You don't see that very often.
No, you don't.
I mean, I don't even remember seeing it on eBay or anything.
You very rarely see it on eBay. And there was a sequel to that, Mrs. Peregrine Goes to the Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And Esther entered the first one into a contest, the Julia Ellsworth Foundation contest. They didn't win the contest, but they were chosen to be published. And this is what really got my mother back into illustrating. I can remember one year that we moved down to the lake. I was bitten by a dog, and my eye was all swollen, so I couldn't play. I couldn't do anything, so I just sort of spent the summer hanging over my mother's shoulder,
mm-hmm.
watching her work. But as children, I think this was just something our mother did. I don't think we fully appreciated
mm-hmm.
what she was doing until we were older.